News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathigrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. The Taliban reveled in their victory after the American withdrawal from Afghanistan, reiterating their pledge on Tuesday to bring peace and security to the country after decades of war. Their anxious citizens, meanwhile, are waiting to see what the new order looks like. Having humbled the world's most powerful military, the Taliban now face the challenge of governing a nation of 38 million people that relies heavily on international aid and imposing some form of Islamic rule on a population that is far more educated and cosmopolitan than it was when the group last governed Afghanistan in the late 1990s. Thousands who had worked with the US and its allies, as well as up to 200 Americans, remained in the country after the massive airlift ended, with the last US soldiers flying out of Kabul International Airport just before midnight on Monday. President Joe Biden defended his handling of the withdrawal, saying the US government had reached out 19 times since March to encourage all American citizens in Afghanistan to leave. Turbaned Taliban leaders, flanked by fighters from the group's elite Badri unit, toured the airport on Tuesday and posed for photos. "Afghanistan is finally free," Hekmatullah Wasiq, a top Taliban official, told the Associated Press on the tarmac. "Everything is peaceful, everything is safe." He urged people to return to work and reiterated the Taliban's offer of amnesty to all Afghans who had fought against the group over the last 20 years. "People have to be patient," he said. "Slowly we will get everything back to normal. It will take time." A long-running economic crisis has worsened since the Taliban's rapid takeover of the country in mid-August, with people crowding banks to maximize their daily withdrawal limit of about $200. Civil servants haven't been paid in months and the local currency is losing value. Most of Afghanistan's foreign reserves are held abroad and currently frozen. "We keep coming to work, but we are not getting paid," said Abdul Maqsood, a traffic police officer on duty near the airport. He said he hasn't received his salary in 4 months. A major drought threatens the food supply, and thousands who fled during the Taliban's lightning advance remain in squalid camps. "Afghanistan is on the brink of a humanitarian catastrophe," said Ramiz Alakbarov, the local UN humanitarian coordinator. He said $1.3 billion is needed for aid efforts, only 39% of which has been received. The challenges the Taliban face in reviving the economy could give Western nations leverage as they push the group to fulfill a pledge to allow free travel, form an inclusive government, and guarantee women's rights. The Taliban say they want to have good relations with other countries, including the United States. There are few signs of the draconian restrictions the Taliban imposed last time they were in power. Schools have reopened to boys and girls, though Taliban officials have said they will study separately. Women are out on the streets wearing Islamic headscarves, as they always have, rather than the all-encompassing burqa the Taliban required in the past. "I'm not afraid of the Taliban," said Masuda, a fifth grader, as she headed to school on Tuesday. When the Taliban last ruled the country from 1996 to 2001, they banned television, music, and even photography, but there's no sign of that yet. TV stations are still operating normally and the Taliban fighters themselves can be seen taking selfies around Kabul. On Tuesday, the sound of dance music trickled out of an upscale wedding hall in Kabul, where a celebration was in full swing inside. Shadab Azimi, the 26-year-old manager, said at least 7 wedding parties had been held since the Taliban takeover, with festivities moved to daytime because of security concerns. He said the Taliban have yet to announce any restrictions on music, but that wedding singers have cancelled out of caution, forcing him to use tapes. For now, the Taliban appear less interested in imposing restrictions on daily life than getting the country running again, a task that could prove challenging to fighters who have spent most of their lives waging an insurgency in the countryside. They are expected to focus on the Kabul airport, where scenes of desperation and horror played out for weeks as tens of thousands fled in a massive US-led airlift. Early on Tuesday, the airport was littered with artifacts of the withdrawal. Inside the terminal were scattered piles of clothes, luggage, and documents. Several CH-46 helicopters used by American forces were parked in a hangar. The US military says it disabled 27 Humvees and 73 aircraft before leaving. Taliban spokesman Zabihullah Mujahid later said technical teams are repairing and cleaning the airport and advise people to avoid the area for the time being. The Taliban have said they will allow people with legal documents to travel freely, but it remains to be seen whether any commercial airlines will be willing to offer service. The Taliban are expected to hold talks with Qatar and Turkey on resuming airport operations. "I hope you will be very cautious in dealing with the nation," Mujahid said in a speech at the airport, addressing the Taliban fighters gathered there. "Our nation has suffered war and invasion, and the people do not have more tolerance." At the end of his remarks, the fighters shouted, "God is greatest." And the Taliban once again assured India that its concerns regarding anti-Indian activities and terrorism would all be positively addressed at a meeting between the two parties at the request of the Taliban on Tuesday. Ambassador of India to Qatar, Deepak Mittal, met Sheikh Mohammed Abbas Tanikzai, the head of the military group's political office in Doha, at the Indian embassy there. According to the press statement from the Ministry of External Affairs, the two discussed safety, security, and the early return of Indian nationals stranded in Afghanistan. Mittal also spoke about travel of Afghan nationals, especially minorities, who wish to visit India. He, however, raised India's concerns that Afghanistan's soil should not be used for anti-Indian activities and terrorism in any manner, the press release stated. To this, Tanikzai assured the ambassador that these issues would be positively addressed. After reaching out to India to retain its diplomatic presence in Afghanistan recently, the Taliban leader has also highlighted political, economic, and cultural ties with India and expressed an interest in maintaining them. In an exclusive interview to CNN News 18 a few days ago, Taliban spokesperson Suhail Shaheen also talked about India's investments in Afghanistan and said India should be allowed to complete underdevelopment projects. Over the past 20 years, India has invested $3 billion in development projects, offered scholarships to Afghan students, and helped construct the Parliament building at a cost of $90 million. The Congress leadership in Delhi has given its nod to the expansion of the Rajasthan cabinet, and former rebel leader Sachin Pilot is most likely to emerge a winner, sources in Delhi told CNN News 18. At least four MLAs from the Pilot faction are likely to be inducted as cabinet ministers in the Ashok Gehlot-led cabinet soon, they added. Parleys have been on in Rajasthan, with the top brass making a beeline to the state in a bid to placate ruffled feathers in both Gehlot and Pilot camps. Earlier this month, Haryana Congress Chief Kumari Selja and Karnataka Congress President D.K. Shivakumar had met the Rajasthan Chief Minister in the run-up to an expected reshuffle of the state cabinet. The back-to-back visits were a clear indication that there were hiccups in the plan to expand the Gehlot cabinet, in which MLAs loyal to the former Deputy Chief Minister want a bigger representation. Congress General Secretary Ajay Makan, who is in charge of Rajasthan at the AICC, had in July also held a series of meetings with party MLAs and state unit leaders in Jaipur. In a clear indication that some members of the Gehlot cabinet may be dropped, Makan had said a few ministers had expressed willingness to quit the state government and work for the organization. Including Gehlot, there are 21 members now in the Rajasthan ministry, and up to 9 more can be accommodated. Similarly, there are vacancies in party units at the district level. The Congress High Command had brought about a truce in the Rajasthan unit after rebel MLAs led by Pilot appeared to bring the Gehlot government to the brink of collapse last year. A 3-member AICC committee was formed to look into the grievances of Pilot supporters, but they claim that this has not happened even months later and are seeking a bigger share of power. Hugely popular online games and celebrity culture in China are the latest targets in the ruling Communist Party's campaign to encourage the public to fall in line with its vision for a powerful, more wholesome country. The message? Play less, study and work more. Rules that take effect on Wednesday cut the amount of game time children are allowed by more than 2/3 to 3 hours a week. That coincides with a campaign to curb what the party sees as unhealthy attention to celebrities online. Adolescents are the future of the motherland, the Press and Publications Administration said in a statement on Monday, accompanying the game rules. The measures add to a drumbeat of initiatives under President Xi Jinping over the past half decade that are aimed at prodding the public and companies to align with the party's political and economic goals. This appears to be part of China's push to ensure that the government is front and center in all aspects of its citizens' lives, said Paul Haswell, who heads law firm Pencent Mason's Technology Media and Communications Practice for the Asia-Pacific region. She has called for a national rejuvenation to restore China to its rightful place as a global leader, with the ruling party directing areas from economics and technology to culture, education, religion, and society. The party is the leader of everything, says a document on Xi Jinping theory in the new era of Chinese socialism issued in 2018. China's few remaining dissidents have been jailed or intimidated into silence. The party is rolling out a system known as social credit to track every individual and company in China and punish missteps ranging from dealing with business partners that break environmental rules to littering. Beijing launched a barrage of anti-monopoly, data security and other enforcements beginning in late 2020. It aims to tighten control over internet giants including games and social media service Tencent Holding Limited, e-commerce service Alibaba Group and ride-hailing service Didi Global Incorporated. Online gaming is seen by regulators as a political danger because users can socialize while they play and it is harder than other activities to monitor or control, said Haswell. That adds to the risk users might organize and express dissent. An official panel was created in 2018 to review ethical issues or make sure games conform to party positions on human rights, foreign relations, and other issues. Monday's announcement made clear Beijing's concern focuses on the ability of young Chinese to contribute to the economy. Protecting the physical and mental health of minors is related to the vital interests of the broad masses of the people and the cultivation of newcomers in the era of national rejuvenation, the publications agency said. That reflects official unease about the need to ensure China has enough skilled future workers at a time when the workforce has shrunk over the past decade and is forecast to fall further. Xi's government appears to think China spends too much time and energy on entertainment and consumer services instead of manufacturing and high-tech industry, Beijing regards as a strategic priority. Under party pressure, Tencent, Alibaba and others have promised to spend billions of dollars on its priorities of developing processor chips, robots and other technology instead of on their core businesses. On Saturday, microblog platform Weibo Corporation suspended thousands of accounts for fan clubs and entertainment news. Platforms also have been barred from publishing lists of celebrities ranked by popularity. A popular actress, Zhao Wei, has disappeared from streaming platforms without explanation. Her name has been removed from credits of movies and TV programs. Another actress, Zhen Shuang, was fined 299 million yuan or $46 million on tax evasion charges in a warning to celebrities to be positive role models for society. The crackdown has been financially devastating to games operators, including Tencent. Investor anxiety about the potential revenue loss has knocked more than $300 billion off Tencent's stock market value and billions of those of smaller rivals. The irony is that China is home to a growing number of extremely talented game developers, said Haswell. An official newspaper lambasted online games in early August as spiritual opium, an explosive accusation in a system that associates 19th century opium use with colonial powers seizing Chinese territory. In 2018, Beijing froze new game approvals, citing concern children's eyesight might suffer. News reports at the time said propaganda officials had taken over a leading role in regulation. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.